Thank you, worship team. Thanks, Chelsea. Thanks, Bobby. Hi, church. Good morning. My name's Caitlin, and I'm a part of the preaching team here. I'm going to continue our journey through the book of John, and I'll be preaching out of chapter 5. And I hope you all like spicy food, because today's topic, yes, is a little spicy meatball of a topic. I get to talk about healing. Healing is a very sensitive subject. I know that in this room there's such a diverse experience with healing. Some of us have encountered the miraculous with God, physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. But I also know that there's people here today, this morning, that still bring the healing and the pain and the suffering that they're still longing for, even years after praying, years and years and years. My sermon is based on my experience primarily with emotional and spiritual healing. And when it comes to physical healing, I've tried to pray for myself, for others. I've never seen anything come to fruition with these hands. I just don't think I have that gift. So my intention with this sermon today isn't to explain all there is to know about healing, or to even attempt to explain why God heals some people and why he doesn't heal others. Instead, my intention is to share what the Holy Spirit brought to me as I wrestled with the text and consulted wise counsel and my friends. May the Spirit use my reflections to encourage you in your journey of healing and ultimately bring you closer to God. Let me pray for us. Triune God, thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for the ways that you have spoken to me through this passage, and I pray that you would use me as your vessel. And anything that is not of you, would that fall away to the ground? But anything that is from you, would that be sticky? Would you open our hearts, our ears, and our minds? Amen. Okay, let's get into the text. Oh, and that's my sermon title. I'm still working on the quirkiness to try to be like Tim, but. So, John 5, 2 through 6. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, in Hebrew called Bethesda. In other translations, it's called Bethesda, which I'll be using because it's a little bit easier to say than Bethesda. This pool has 5 porticos. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he'd been there, lying there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your pallet, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse befall you." So let me start off with some context and tell you about this cool pool of Bethesda. Bethesda translates to house of mercy and house of grace. It was a public bathhouse, which you can see in this image here, and it had 2 pools with 5 porticos or porches. Historians thought that it was about the size of a football field and it was about 50 feet deep. Massive, massive pools. And it was located near Sheep Gate, which I also have another picture of a map. You can see the pool of Bethesda up here and Sheep Gate. And it's curious to me that these 2 things are actually really close to the temple where people worshiped. Sheep Gate was aptly named because of the sheep that would walk through the gate into Jerusalem on their way to be sacrificed to the temple. These sheep, obviously, were never to be seen again because sacrifice, Sorry, that's not funny, but... and in the same way, the Pool of Bethesda was home to people with disabilities who were deemed the outcasts of society, who similarly would probably never be seen again in daily life. That was the point I was trying to make. And this pool was a ticket back into civilian life because it was believed to have magical healing powers, like the text says. But someone had to go in right just at the perfect time as the waters were stirring. Some theologians believe that this pool was used to bathe the sacrificial sheep before they went to the temple. But when Jerusalem came under the Roman Empire, they turned it into a pagan shrine dedicated to the Greek god of medicine, Asclepius. And today's story highlights just one of those people with disabilities that desired healing. And at the complete risk of exposing my own ish or beef with Jesus, I'll be honest with you, when I first read this story, I was P-I-S-S-E-D'd, angry. When Jesus asked, "Do you want to be healed?" I was so freaking frustrated. Like, look at Arthur fists, like that meme with Arthur when he's mad and he's like, "Ugh," like this all the time. I was just so insulted on behalf of the man. My response would have been so snarky, like, "Duh, of course I freaking want to be healed. You think I'm laying at this sunbathing pool for 38 years for funsies?" No, not me. Because just imagine how the man must have felt after being there for almost 4 decades. I wonder if what was once desperation and high hopes had slowly waned into a dull apathetic of the acceptance of his disability, sprinkled with little feelings of defeat and hopelessness. If I was the man, I would feel completely unseen and misunderstood. But thankfully, I'm not the man, and the man gave a better response than I would have. But I can't help but interpret what he was saying as, "Can't you see me trying? I've tried to go into the pool. I don't have any friends to put me in there. I didn't choose this life." And maybe you're like me, when you heard this passage, you also had some angerness come up and bitterness towards God around the healing that you still want in your life. And I just want to name that that's a perfectly good place to be here this morning. And I appreciate that our church is a church where we can wrestle with those feelings. And with my message, my intention isn't to rush us through that anger, because anger is such a vital place in the healing process. Anger says, "Ouch, that really hurt," or, "Ouch, you just crossed a boundary of mine and that was not okay." So let your anger breathe this morning. But for this teaching, I had to Sunday school myself through my anger kind of quickly. So I reread the story with compassionate Jesus instead of sassy Jesus, because there is some sassy Jesus in the New Testament. And unsurprisingly, I came to this conclusion that Jesus didn't ask the question to be cruel or careless. He wasn't testing the man like it's a trick question. He wasn't making the man beg for his healing. And the more I sat with the question, "Do you want to be healed?" I realized that this was the most loving thing that Jesus could have asked in that moment. And I needed to be reminded of that this morning. And maybe some of you do too. And if there's one thing that I hope you continue to chew on from this message after we leave this place, it's that Jesus is the God who sees. Jesus is the God who knows. Because Jesus is that good shepherd who stopped at the pool near Sheep Gate to visit his beloved flock. He didn't turn a blind eye to their pain and suffering. Instead, he drew close to them. This story is a beautiful encounter with Elroy, which translates to the God who sees. We may know Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus as Yahweh, God is Lord, but Jesus is also El Roy, the God who sees. God is called El Roy by Hagar, the handmaiden of Sarah and Abraham. Some of us know this, might know this story. Because of the mistreatment that Hagar experienced, she flees to the wilderness. And it's there, isn't it always in the wilderness, that God meets Hagar and promises to bless her with multiple descendants. She responds, "You are the God that sees me. You are El Roy." God saw Hagar in her non-consensual and very abusive situation. He knew what happened to her. Similarly, El Roy sees us completely. Jesus sees your struggle with addiction. He sees the crushing weight of your anxiety and depression. He knows the chronic illness the doctor has diagnosed that has no cure. Jesus also sees our efforts towards that healing. He sees us trying those new medications that maybe don't quite work. He sees every tear that you've shed in therapy. And he knows how hard you've tried to forgive that one family member that has done the unforgivable. Jesus sees it all because he is El Roy. And Jesus' loving gaze is transformational. It's life-changing. His sight declares the truth that we are worthy of healing, that we are worthy of love, kindness, and compassion. This truth combats the lies that we've internalized about ourselves. Think about the man, for example. He was there for 38 years, and he probably saw himself as a disabled person. That was his entire identity. And maybe it was difficult for him to see that he could be an able-bodied person again, that he could resume into daily life. And perhaps you've internalized similar lies around your self-worth. Maybe the devil tricks you and says, "You are your mental health issue. You're nothing more than an addict. You're a disease." I'm so sorry, that hurts just saying out loud. But El Roy says, "You are so much more than your brokenness, and so much more than the trauma and the pain that has been inflicted upon you. You are my sheep, and I am your shepherd. You are my beloved child, and I am your loving parent." And knowing that we are worthy and healing of this love, worthy of healing and love, I hope this produces in us hope. Hope says our situation will change in some shape or form. I'm not sure how. Hope chips away at those lies that we've internalized, and hope gives us a reason to not give up, to continue on that healing journey. But hope is really risky, let's just name it, because we don't know for sure if things will change. Going back to the text, "Do you want to be healed?" in my opinion, prompts a yes or no response, like, "Yes, I do want to be healed," or "No, I don't." But instead, the man's answer, he actually dwells on his past failed attempts at healing. Perhaps the man simply didn't answer yes because he wasn't sure if healing was even possible. He was feeling hopeless. Renee Rapp is a singer and actress, and she's best known for her role as Regina George in Mean Girls, in the movie that recently came out. I love that movie. But one of my favorite songs by her is a song called Colorado, where she daydreams about what her life would be like in, you guessed it, Colorado. She'll drink wine, she'll work on her mental health, she'll go hiking, whatever you do in Colorado. And to a catchy chorus with poppy beats, she sings. But it's an empty dream, that shit's not meant for me. I choose the devil I know over the heaven I don't. Okay, and if that, thank you. If that music, thank you, you're so kind. If that musical was a little distracting, I'll read the lyrics. She sings, but it's an empty dream, moving to Colorado. That shit's not meant for me. I choose the devil I know over the heaven I don't. And later in this song, she concludes, this is hell, but I'll stay right here. Yeah, I'll stay right here. And that part of the song is a little too high for me to sing in public. Saying yes to Jesus' question, do you want to be healed, takes a tremendous amount of courage. Because it's seemingly easier to stay where you are and not hope, because at least it's familiar, and the familiar is comforting. The unknown is terrifying, so scary, and maybe the grass isn't greener on the other side. But with Jesus, the shepherd, the pasture is always greener on his side. The risk is worth it because Jesus heals in really surprising ways. I'd like to tell you a story about my friend Chris. And when I asked him if I could share his story, he exclaimed, yes, of course, please share it. But it's not my story. It's God's story, which I think is just a beautiful testament to his healing. Here's a picture of Chris and me. I made an Instagram post because it was his going away from Trader Joe's. So we met at Trader Joe's, my favorite place on earth. He was my boss, and he actually hired me, which is great. And we became fast friends. This picture is taken at the Trader Joe's parking lot in Daly City in California. And this was a common occurrence. After work, after a night shift, all of the crew members would get snacks off the shelves, pay for most of them, I promise, and we would imbibe spirit-filled drinks, all with the intention of getting shwasted. This was a Trader Joe's parking lot party, after all. But little did I know, in this photo, Chris was struggling with an addiction to alcohol. Chris started drinking at the age of 18 to cope with an abusive household and the trauma that comes when you're gay, living in a conservative Asian family, and living in a heteronormative society. He justified his drinking because he felt like he deserved the escape. The pain and suffering was too much for him to bear. He told me he felt like he was the only one who felt this way, and that no one could ever understand him. And as his friend, that just broke my heart. After a decade of binge drinking and multiple near-death experiences, Chris finally decided it was time for a change. He was done. So he joined a queer person of color Alcohol Anonymous chapter. And from that on, his life changed forever. Before AA, Chris thought his only issue was alcohol abuse. But after cutting alcohol out of his life, he soon realized that he had other addictions, like the addiction to nicotine, other narcotics. Chris suffered from low self-esteem and self-loathing, which made him addicted to the approval of others to validate his worth. Through the 12-step program, he came to this revelation. My job, my relationships, this alcoholic beverage cannot save me. Only a higher power can. He learned to surrender to this higher power, letting go of the need to control his reality, letting go of the need to control people. And I asked him, if there's one thing you'd like to tell us about healing, what would it be? And he answered, "You can't control anything. It's all up to God." Chris's story, or should I say, God's story through Chris, is a powerful example of the deeper healing that Jesus longs for us to experience. For Chris, alcohol was a coping mechanism, but when that was stripped away, he was still left with the root cause of his addictions. He identified that as the human condition, or self-centeredness. And it's in this surrender he found freedom, which is the paradox of the Christian walk, is it not? And because of his belief in this higher power, he was healed physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And he's now a mentor helping others in recovery. We see this multi-layered healing in the man's story as well. Jesus not only saw the man's physical need, but his spiritual and social needs too. Because the man is healed physically, he's now able to go back to the temple to worship with others. His social position in society is restored. He's healed spiritually because this miracle converted his belief in a pagan pool to believing in the living water himself. Nothing worse should befall the man if he continues to follow Jesus. And I think a lot of us can resonate with this man, because I think when it comes to our healing, we have a very specific way that we'd like to be healed. But this morning, I think that Jesus may be inviting some of us to be open, to be curious as to how he wants to heal. Because when we surrender, Jesus invites us into a deeper healing than we could have ever imagined. In fact, the word healed in this text in Greek is hugies, and it has two definitions: to be sound in body, like healed in your body, but also to be made whole, complete. Elroy desires this hugies in your life, and he's asking, do you want to be made whole? And I long for us to be a church that says yes to this question, because we can trust Jesus, the Elroy. And it's really easy to see in our personal lives, the politics in our country, the wars overseas, it's really easy to see where there's deeper healing that's needed. And I'd like to leave us this morning with this watercolor painted by a former colleague of mine. I hope this serves as a vision of what a community looks like that says yes to healing. This depicts another story of a paralyzed man, except this paralyzed man has four friends. And these four friends have heard about Jesus and believe that they could heal their paralyzed friend. So they went to the extreme of destroying a stranger's house, just like that, just completely destroyed, vandalism, on behalf of healing. But it was worth it, because the man was healed physically and his sins were forgiven. This story contrasts with today's reading, in which the man didn't have any friends to help him into the pool or bring him to Jesus. So may this image encourage us to put our hopes in Jesus and be a community that longs for restoration for the world around us. Amen.
Thank you, Caitlin. Can you give her a hand, ladies and gentlemen? I would encourage you to listen again to that message. There's actually a lot more in there than you probably can get in one hearing of it. So thank you so much for that. A couple announcements, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer that sends us into our week. First announcement is this: February 11th, we're having baptisms here, because we haven't done them in a while, yay. And we're getting baptized. We're going to do the baptisms at a friend of mine's hot tub, okay? So it doesn't matter what the weather is like. And he has a changing room and everything. They're opening up their house. And so that's going to be February 11th. And there's a sign-up sheet. We need to know if we're going to do it. We have to have people to be baptized. So there's a sign-up sheet and all the information's on there too. And you'll get directions, and it's going to be wonderful. So if you've been baptized before as a kid but didn't remember it, and you want to be re-baptized, that's what I did, that's great as an adult. Or if you've never been baptized, I would encourage you to do it. It's an important step in our faith journey with Jesus. Also, on the same day, the youth group is having another bake sale because February 14th, that Wednesday, is Valentine's Day. And instead of buying all your treats and goodies at the store like Trader Joe's or something where it costs a lot of money, you can buy them here for a discounted price and send a kid to camp. So that's going to be on Wednesday or on Sunday, February 11th as well. All right? Could you stand with me? And I'm going to send us off into our week with a prayer I'd like to read for us. Let's pray. God who sees and God of healing and wholeness, please come and heal us. Heal our broken marriages. Heal those of us who are tangled up in addiction. Heal those of us who are in constant pain. Heal those of us that even right now, in the midst of a crowd, we feel isolated. Heal those of us who are scared of everything. Heal those of us who don't feel worthy of love. Heal those of us with hard hearts by giving us a heart of compassion. Heal those of us who are grieving with your presence that cries alongside of us. Touch the hurting places in us with love until only love is left. And God, for miracles of healing, we say thank you. And when miracles don't come, we still say thank you, because we know you are with us in our suffering, and that we know that one day all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Have a glorious week. We'll see you here next Sunday as we continue our journey through John.